Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast on Easter weekend, looking back on a thrilling weekend of league finals. Eamon Fitzmaurice and Ryan McCluskey are with me for these. I trust you both had a good weekend, Eamon. You enjoyed all the football?
I did. Saw plenty of it anyway, Jackie. Yeah, I enjoyed it all and ended in a great crescendo with the Division 1 final, which was some game of football.
Yeah, nice way to celebrate Easter, Ryan, wasn't it? In fairness, loads of chocolate, some great football, good for everybody.
Yeah, I could get my Easter eggs in behind closed doors. I think Eamon couldn't. Maybe get a few refreshments and a couple of Easter eggs as well. So yeah, very, very good weekend.
Yeah, well, look, Eamon, you touched on it there, the crescendo of the game of the weekend, no doubt about it, Dublin-Derry. I mean, this is being heralded as one of the greatest games in the modern era. And I know sometimes there's a recency bias with this thing, but it did feel like it had the hallmarks of everything you want in a great game of football.
Yeah, it did. And like you said, the bit of recency bias is there, Jackie, and it probably... We were all ready maybe for a game like that. The other games weren't as... They were exciting at the end. There was a kind of a pattern where teams went for it in the last 10 or 15 minutes, but they were cagey prior to that. And I actually thought teams looked tired over the weekend. Again, Division 1 final aside, but the Division 1 final was just brilliant. It was two proper teams, you know, brimming with talent, really going at each other. Not a backward step being taken. Brilliant scores, tackling, turnovers, long kickouts, short kickouts, loads of tactical intricacies all over the pitch. Great one-on-one duels and just serious quality. And, you know, it just shows where the game can be when you have two teams that play like that. And, you know, I suppose you have to put in the caveat that the quality that's within both squads allows them to play that way. And sometimes, you know, management teams and players, they're going to try and equalize the playing field by playing in a certain manner. But it was brilliant. It was refreshing to see two teams just really going at each other. And obviously Dublin showed, you know, they just will never go away. Even though Derry were the better team and should have won the game at the end of normal time and again at the end of extra time. But Dublin just have that thing baked into their mentality now that they just will not go away, and they kept coming, and you have to give them massive credit for that. But a brilliant game, really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, look, there's a few of those things I definitely want to pick up on a minute. But first, just your thoughts on that game, Ryan, as well, because it just, Eamon is absolutely right. We had two teams who were refreshingly going at it, which I think everybody was just crying out for at the end of this league.
And I think they're probably the two teams over the weekend that were refreshed. You know, they made a number of changes over the last number of weeks, and Eamon alluded to it, that the rest of the sides looked maybe a bit tired. I think it was maybe Desi Dolan alluded to that they may have now 5-6 championship games back to back over the next number of weeks, because their league campaign, obviously they were trying to get promoted, and they had a number of big games over the last number of weeks. And obviously Dublin and Derry had the luxury with their squads to rest players over the last number of weeks. And it was an unbelievable encounter. And they had actually called Monaghan the escape artist, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. I could probably say the same about Dublin over the weekend. You know, they nearly pulled it off twice. And it was, I think it just epitomised, you know, how good the league, you know, can be. And it was an absolutely fantastic finish, you know.
Mm. Let's get into that then, right? So, Eamon, you're sitting in the manager's position. Are you happier to be Mickey Hart, or are you happier to be Desi Farrell? Because in a way, yes, Mickey Hart has won a national trophy. They've won penalties and all of that. But you're right about Dublin. You know, technically, they didn't lose the game. They lost a penalty shootout. They were beaten two or three times in that game, and their ability to come back and to stay in the fight. So I do suggest, this might sound like an odd thing to say, but I don't know if Desi Farrell will be all that disappointed with what happened on Sunday either.
No, 100%, Jackie. Look, I think both of them are delighted because of where their teams are at. Derry, like, if you think back a couple of years ago to Derry and the trajectory they've been on with regard to everything, but there was a thing maybe two seasons ago, even this time last year when they were got into the Division Two league final, they can't win in Croke Park. Their game doesn't transfer to Croke Park. They don't have a squad. Those things have been answered in the meantime. In fairness, they beat Cork in the quarterfinal last year. They could have and probably should have beaten Kerry in the semi-final. So they had taken that step where they'd shown their game does transfer to Croke Park. This year, they've deepened their squad. They've beaten Dublin and Croke Park, which is obviously another huge step. Enda was on with you on last week, and he was talking about Operation Belief. And, you know, that's what Mickey Hart is so good at. This further feeds into that belief for him. And he's going to be able to keep beating that drum. Sean Kavanagh, when he talks about it, he almost goes so far as to call it brainwashing. So it gives Mickey and Gavin Devlin a bit more material for the brainwashing. So they needed to win. They got the win. It helps them on where they want to go. On the other side, Desi Farrell is not going to be sad. Like you said, they fought back from the dead. There has been holes exposed in their game that they're going to go away and deal with, particularly how open they were at the back, particularly how when caught in long kickouts, so similar to Donegal in 2014 semi-final, how when they got caught in those long kickouts that they were wide open. We won't see that again this year. That will be addressed. So as good and as brilliant as the game was and as good as a result it was for Derry, they also have poked the bear now. And, you know, you do have, I think I read or heard somewhere that Cluxton, James McCarthy and Mick Fitzsimons are back in training with Dublin. And, you know, it isn't that Evan Comerford did anything wrong, but I would say there when they were under the caution the second half, if Cluxton was in goals, he might have managed it slightly differently. So to answer your question, I think they're both happy out. Of course, Desi Farrell would have preferred to have won the game and won the penalties and have a national title and everything else, but it gives him a stick to beat. I remember we beat Dublin in the league final in 2017. And afterwards, they won the All-Ireland again later on that year. And I remember seeing afterwards that it had been a kind of a reset button for them at the time. They hadn't lost any game in, I think, over 2 years at that stage. And it had given them something, you know, just a bit of an angle again for the championship. So I think the way that they played for a lot of the league, they'll be happy with it. They will have to tweak it in terms of their approach to the back, which they will. And they'll be stronger for it. So great for both sides, I would say, and both managements will be happy this week.
Mm. Give me your sense of that, Ryan, because I do wonder from Mickey Hart's point of view, would he be annoyed that they didn't win it in normal time when they should have, really? You know, they had Dublin on the ropes. They found a way to beat them, all the things that Eamon says there, and they just couldn't kill him off.
Yeah, and for me, it's probably just an experience and being in that, I suppose, arena and playing Dublin in Croke Park as well. You know, that's a massive occasion. And, you know, then it should have been finished in injury time then as well. I actually looked back at the clip this morning and I think it might have been Chris McKay was off the pitch at that stage. But whoever the first player, who received the ball from that last kick out, he had two options. And I know they'll watch it back in the video when he had the ball. He was caught, and listen, Dublin obviously created that chance and equalised, or sorry, got the free to equalise the game. I probably disagree. I think Dublin will maybe retain Evan Comerford in terms of, you know, he plays a bit more out the pitch, and I think Dublin have to add that 16th kind of attacking player over the next kind of number of months and weeks to live with the likes of Derry. I think the struggle against sides who play that extra, you could say, attacking option or attacking keeper, whatever you want to call it, in this kind of new modern area of attack. So I think they may struggle when they come up against maybe Derry or sides that play that extra attacking, you could say, keeper. But for me, listen, Desi kind of called it right after the weekend as well. He said it was the first chance they played against a side that actually had a kind of full select and full team as well. And you have to give them the credit. I actually looked through all games at the weekend. done a bit of stats, and Dublin had 10 different scorers from the, I think they're starting 15. Derry actually had 9 from their starting 15. And then we looked at the impact, I suppose, subs that come on from Dublin. I think they had 4 different scorers then that come on. For me, they are the two best teams in the country. And that's the reason why, you're putting out fires in one position, and the next minute somebody else comes up and gives you a problem, you know, and that's from really anywhere in the pitch. And both sides really epitomise, that kind of modern game approach where everybody attacks, together, everyone defends together. But it's just that they're so good at doing it. And, if we look at, obviously, at the weekend as well, Mickey Hart was very clever. He moved McAvoy from, I think, full back. Well, further back, you can't really call it even full back now, to centre half. And for me, he just opened up, obviously, at the weekend. And obviously, he got those 2 goals and 2 points as well. But both sides, I think, will be happy after the performance. And again, it just kind of leads us and wets the lips for what will come in the summer, So it's exciting times, hopefully, for football in the future.
I hope so. I think for football fans, Eamon, they've been spoiled so much by the Dublin-Kerry rivalry over the years that it's the one that we all look out for. You know, when it comes later in the year, everybody's screaming for that. I think after Sunday, a lot of people might feel maybe there's a new rivalry been formed. Maybe it's because of, we saw a bit of spark between the teams. They definitely, there was a bit of fight there between everyone. I think maybe there is, maybe it's too early to call, but I think there's definitely a sense that these two teams are going to want to have another rattle off each other later in the summer.
Oh, big time, Jackie. And no surer sign that you're viewed as a serious threat when there are rows and fellas pulling off each other and everything else. So, they've actually played each other a lot over the last couple of years because of being in Division 2 with each other as well. They played the Division 2 final last year. So that rivalry is a live rivalry now. And the next time they meet, I think if both teams win and, kind of continue on their trajectory, I think it's a semi-final that they come up against each other in. So, it's a brilliant rivalry. And Derry are most definitely at the top table now, and they really are, an item for the All-Ireland. And I think in fairness to Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin, they deserve a good bit of credit because, look, in many ways, at the time, I wondered about it. I felt for Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin, it was a no-brainer. They were going into a serious outfit that needed to take the next step, but that the stuff was there and that they had a lot of experience under their belt from the last couple of years. But I felt it was a bit of a risk for Derry. Obviously, Mickey Hart was coming with all of his All-Ireland winning experience and everything. But I was wondering, would he fit into the way that Derry were playing? And would he try and change it? Or how was he going to innovate or add to it? And he's improved them. He's deepened the squad significantly, which is a huge factor if you want to win in All-Ireland. They're kicking more. They're keeping better shape. They're trying to keep bodies up, even when they're defending, which I think, again, if you're going to win the biggest prizes, you have to be able to do. I don't think you're going to win it just with a counter-attacking game. And he's improved them. So they deserve massive credit as well. And they have taken a further step. I think they're going to Portugal this week. And as far as I know, I was told at the weekend, and the way sometimes you're told these things and you wonder are they true or not, but that they're going out and they're kind of training for 4 or 5 days, and that the management are coming home and the players are staying out for an extra couple of days for a bit of golf and R&R and whatever else. And that's a week before the Ulster Championship. So that just, again, shows massive, massive trust.
I know. Do you ever do that in your time, Eamon? No.
Well, I know certainly whatever about is when I was manager, Jackie, because those fellas were actually a pleasure to deal with. Certainly as players, there's no way anyone would have been leaving us outside in Portugal for
we went to Mindoran, I think.
There's no way we'd have been left out for a weekend, a week before championship. It would have been just, it would have been carnage. So it shows how much the game has moved on. But I think, again, in terms of if that's true, in terms of the trust that's within the setup, it's fantastic. And that's something that's a positive for Derry going down the line. But yeah, there is a real rivalry there now. And you know, they narrowly lost to Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. They beat Kerry in the league below in Tralee this year. So there's a rivalry developing there as well. So there is, you know, there is that big three there at the moment, and it'll be up to the other teams to try and get up to that standard.
Wait till they show everybody the way now, Ryan. Everyone will be doing this, you know, half management, half players holiday, you know. What do you reckon?
He definitely would not have got away with that. One stage, maybe, which were lively, so no, maybe not.
It does seem Mickey is getting a tune out of them, though. Whatever it is that he's doing, whether it is letting them off the leash, doing this, you know, I think Eamon is right. They have answered all the key questions, whether they had the depth, whether they had the scoring options, whether they could do more than just counterattack. Every hurdle that they have met, they have now overcome. And that has to be a huge confidence builder, whether it is giving them a bit of time off to celebrate that. Because one thing I did notice is that they did not over-celebrate this on Sunday either. You know, I saw Conor Glass going up, lift up the cup, walk back down the steps again. It wasn't a parade into town with this trophy or anything like that. So maybe it is a sense of, look, it's just another hurdle. We're going to get on with it, and I'm going to let you celebrate this one in your own way.
And I think as well, you know, when Eamon had said it, you know, about Mickey Hart and Devlin coming in, you know, I think this is the reason why they have come in as well. You know, it wasn't to win a league final. It was to look at that next step for Sam Maguire. And ultimately, I think that's where they will be judged as well. But yeah, it was important to see the reaction at the weekend, and they didn't over-celebrate it. You know, it looked to be very calm and composed. I think it was Owen McAvoy came out and maybe said that statement about going away and chilling out and having a wee bit of a holiday as well. So he might get a slap on the wrist during the week over that. You never know. No, the confidence obviously is brimming, you know, throughout that squad as well. And it has built over the last number of years, you know, and Mickey alluded to when they were back then, I think it was Leitrim in a Division 4 final a number of years ago as well. So, you know, the job that's been done in Derry, you know, through Rory and Kieran Meehan over the last number of years to build and crescendo to where it's at the moment. It's brilliant. And I suppose, yeah, to add to that point, you know, they have to wet the lips now for Donegal in a number of weeks. And funny, when I was looking at this stat earlier on about, you know, the spread of different scores in each team, the only team, obviously, I'd say that the kind of Division 1 final at the weekend that scored with 6+ was actually Donegal. So Donegal had 7 different scores. And obviously, I know Jim's trying to make their game more rounded as well and have a better squad, and they have scored quite well, you know, all over the place the last number of weeks in terms of different positions. So they'll have to recharge the batteries. And, you know, Jim stayed on with his squad at the weekend. I think they all watched the game, Eamon, and obviously you were at it as well. But there's no doubt.
Don't you know now, Ryan, in typical Ulster championship fashion, Donegal will take a skelp out of Derry now the next day out, you know.
That's why we love it.
That's it. And Jim will be just gathering, you know, everything. I'm sure he has those clips up about them in a training camp. He'd probably be looking for photos of the lads out, you know, taking mocktails. I don't know what it is, but he'd probably have that up in the changing room saying, you know, this is the level maybe of disrespect. So you can just see it building, and obviously it's something to look forward to in the next number of weeks as well.
The only concern for Jim Eamon is, even if you take that Division 2 final on the weekend, the standard of it felt like a completely different game to the Division 1 final. And so trying to come up those levels for him, he has to think about that he just has not met anything like a Derry yet this year.
Oh, absolutely, Jackie. Like it was clear. Like even from the top end of Division 1 to the bottom of Division 1, which is where Donegal and Armagh are now for next year, there was some difference in the pace of the in everything. It was a huge change in levels. That point Ryan made though was great. Like I definitely did see that. I felt teams looked a bit tired, and that they looked a bit fatigued, and obviously Croke Park is going to expose that or maybe emphasize that. And the fact of, you know, the Dublins and Derry's rotating teams over the last couple of weeks because of the depth of their squad maybe was a factor in that. But the only thing is, that was the way it looked at the weekend. But when it comes to a championship game then and an Ulster championship game, you know, the dynamic can change very fast. Now, Derry's game where it's at, if they bring even 70-80% of that again the next day, they will have too much for Donegal at the moment. But yeah, it wouldn't be unlike Donegal and Jim McGuinness to have something up their sleeves to try and equalise it some bit. But the Division 2 final, I thought, was kind of disappointing for most of the game. It really got going for the last 10 minutes, I think, when Armagh went after Sean Patton and they kind of got hold of his kickouts there for a few minutes, and they got a couple of great scores on the trot, and they actually led by a point then, and it was up and down the field and both teams were going at it to try and win it. It was exciting there, but prior to that, it was very kind of cagey and cautious by both sides. And I was surprised with it, but, you know, afterwards then we saw the context. Donegal, obviously, of injuries. Armagh had a bug in the camp and they weren't able to train the week of the game. So there are often explanations, but just looking at the game and merit on its own regard, it was a bit disappointing. I thought it would be, there'd be more in it.
Mm. Context is important, Ryan, and I think we do have to say that. I think the Armagh thing in particular, it explained how flat they were on the day, because when you saw them, they just did not even from the round robin game, they looked like they were a different team.
Yeah, and it was a typical nearly Ulster, you know, cagey affair where both sides kind of didn't want to probably play their full cards leading into the Ulster Championship as well. So it kind of felt like that as well. However, both sides, you know, did want to win the game as well. And I know that, you know, Jim wanted to return the winning ways, obviously, after, you know his absence and getting back. But it just felt like that typical Ulster, kind of horrible encounter at times until Armagh did squeeze up on Patton. And I think they kicked five unanswered scores near the end of the game and really brought them back into it. And obviously then Donegal will be delighted with the resilience and bit of character that they had shown actually at the end of the game. And Gallen, you know, Oisin Gallen was brilliant again, you know. And they have proved, you know, that they deserve to be in Division 1. I know you do get that little bounce back of a new management as well, but, you know, they have unearthed a number of new players and they needed to at the weekend, and they showed real depth in their squad. Especially when you had Patrick McBurdy, you know, McHugh, there was Owen Van Gallagher, I think there was three or four, you know, who we would establish as kind of key men for Donegal who were missing over the weekend. So he has built a squad and you know, we trusted a lot of players to come in at the weekend. And then again, you know, they're going to look forward to Derry in a number of weeks. And I know they'll kick on Armagh. For me, and obviously when we take in, you know, what had happened as well, you know, they did look flat, and maybe it was an unfair it's unfair to maybe criticize them too much, you know, from their weekend's, you know, performance. But they have scored heavily throughout the Division 2 campaign, whether it's testament to maybe the level in Division 2. And it's something, when we were watching the games over the weekend, we did say there was a massive difference between Division 1 and Division, you know, 2, and the level of performance in both games as well. So for me, that they need, you know, Ryan O'Neill, and he only came on at the weekend, but they need him firing on all cylinders. And for me, he is that linchpin. He is that leader, a bit like McGuigan maybe in Derry, you know, where he does carry the can, and he is that player that can really step up. So for me, they need to get him back fit, and they need to get him, you know, back to that real kind of hungry, aggressive player they had a number of seasons ago as well. So, you know, they've a couple of weeks to work on it. And obviously we're hoping to put a dent in their Ulster Championship campaign in Brewster Park, which hasn't been a happy hunting ground for them, sorry, over the last number of years as well. So, you know, but they'll be looking to overcome that and look at what's down the road, you know. So it's a massive few weeks for them.
Mm. The one question I would have about Armagh, Eamon, is that it's another tight game that they've lost. And, you know, I know we talk about context is important and they were flat and there's obviously reasons for that, but you only get so many opportunities to put yourself in those kind of situations and to know, can you do it? And it's another big game that they haven't done that. And that's where the nagging doubt about Armagh seems to sit for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's the flip of the Derry thing, I suppose, Jackie, that when you get the win, it just fuels belief and it fuels what you're at, and it's, you know, it just emphasizes that everything that's going on in the camp and that the management are trying to do is the right thing and it's working and everything else. So that definitely will be something that'll stick in their craw. But I think because of the fact that there was the bug and all of that, it'll probably give them that bit of get out of jail card with regard to that. But Yeah, look, they've been so close. They were so close in that Ulster final last year. They were losing in the penalties in the two quarter finals. They've just come out the wrong side. And until you get that win and until you get that significant win to kind of feed and fuel that belief, it's the chicken and the egg thing. You have to keep trying to do the right things and just get the win. But like when Armagh are at full strength and when they go at it, they're a formidable outfit. And I thought for a lot of the league, they were playing that way. You know, they were conceding very little. They were scoring a lot. As Ryan said, they need Rian O'Neill back. I thought, though, even when Rian O'Neill came on the last day, they didn't look to kick the ball into him. He was playing inside. He was involved in a couple of incidents where he got his hands in the ball and was kind of involved in the score. But in terms of, there was two or three times where it was on that they could have put those diagonal balls inside to him, and they didn't. They weren't even looking inside. So I think they have plenty to work on before that Fermanagh game. It was a positive for them as well, seeing Oisín O'Neill getting back in the pitch, because he's been a huge loss for them the last couple of years, and he's a brilliant player, and he gives them a great option out around the middle of the field. And he got a great point, and he got back, and he got a few minutes into himself. But they'll need everyone for the Ulster Championship. They're viewed as being, you know, on the easier side of the draw. I'm sure Ryan and the lads and Fermanagh will be waiting with some kind of an ambush in Brewster Park to upscuttle that. And similarly, Down will be looking to get into the Ulster final from that side as well. But I wouldn't be writing them off just yet. I think that they'll gather themselves, and if they have everyone fit, they'll be a force for the Ulster Championship. All right.
Yeah, and I think just given the way that all of the Ulster teams are playing at the moment, Ryan, I don't know. Maybe we say this about Ulster every year, but it's even now, even at this far removed, to see just the way the ebb and the flow of it. Because, you know, both you and Eamon have already said it wouldn't surprise anybody if Donegal were to go and take a scalp off Derry or whatever, because Armagh going well, Down need a recovery, Donegal obviously flying, Derry the current national champions. Like, I don't know if it's just this current period of Ulster football, but it feels like this is, you know, era defining for one of those teams who can take a step forward and win an All-Ireland.
Yeah, and I suppose that is the beauty of the Ulster Championship. It's topsy-turvy, but I think it's probably been the run of games from the National League that has kind of led to this as well. And we always talk about having that longer break over the last number of years that kind of allowed you to have that bit of a mini training camp leading, you know, and maybe get your squad just a bit healthier and just reset, rechange focus. But because the games are coming so quick and fast, you know, you have to kind of quickly, yeah, get your championship hat on and get back to business, basically. But, you know, just looking forward to the Ulster Championship, and people would say that, I suppose, the Fermanagh side, the Armagh side, downside, it is the easier side of the draw. Again, you know, we look forward to playing Armagh over the forthcoming weeks, and I think it's around the 13th, 14th that game's fixed for. And again, I think they've struggled against sides. You know, Eamon talked about that playing that high ball, and I think they've struggled over the last number of years. And I don't know if it's really changed that much in terms of their approach playing against sides that play, you know, ultra defensive, and a lot of sides listen to sit men behind the ball. But I think they struggle at times playing against packed defenses. And you know, I know when I was actually playing a number of years ago, we beat them well in Brewster Park in the Championship by playing that way. And listen, they are going to have to, get back to the pitch this week and look at ways how to develop their attacking threats as well. Because yes, they have a number of big men in there, but at times, you know, that can be easily handled by crowded defences and just players getting back in and looking for that breaking ball if the ball is going long. So for me, they need to bring more to their attacking play and work on more attacking threats and patterns coming from all around the pitch. And that goes back to, I suppose, what I had alluded to earlier on in terms of, you know, the top sides, the Derrys, the Dublins, and Donegal now are looking, you know, like those, one of those sides that are starting to emerge and having so many threats going forward from different, you know, positions as well. So, you know, I would be hoping a number of weeks, that we can cause an upset, but the Ulster Championship, it's all over the place. It's crazy, you know, there'll be weeks where we'll pull our hair out and we'll be saying that, it was maybe a bit of a dead rubber match, and it'll be defence and, you know, very defensive maybe games, but you just want to go out and win, and it's warfare at times, and that's it. But listen, it's brilliant as well. And if you take, and I know we have the argument, if you take the Ulster Championship away, you know, what does it do for the likes of ourselves and Fermanagh? You know, it absolutely crucify ourselves, because it's something that we've never done, and something that we'd love to do as well. You know, take away Sam Maguire's and Tailteann Cups. You know, our aim at the start of every year is to try and get that Ulster Championship. So it's massive down here, and hopefully, yeah, we have a good one.
Yeah, well, you can see by the way everybody's playing just how much everybody up there wants it, because it's definitely, you want to be one to be scrapped for this year. One thing that I do want to touch on before we move away from the one and two finals is the differences in the refereeing over the weekend, Eamon, in those two finals in particular seemed very different. You know, in one game, Conor Lane seemed to be blowing for any number of touches in the Division 1 final, whereas in the Division 2 final, it just was not the case. And I do think it is the one thing that does tend to frustrate people across the weekend, that the games are not being refereed in the same way, which, you know, when we're talking about a big feisty Ulster Championship coming down the tracks, that is one thing that is going to change this championship direction for sure.
Yeah, it is. Look, I mean, Paul Falloon's style in general is to let it flow.
Let it go.
You know,
yeah.
That's his kind of style. And unless it's very obvious, Conor Lane, and probably when you have two teams that are really going at each other, you probably have to referee it almost to the letter of the law, from the point of view that it can get out of hand very fast if you don't. But yeah, it is. Look, it is one of the things with the rule book, that there are grey areas, and, you know, like the one that a lot of us like referees, a referee with common sense, but
hard to do that now, isn't it, though? Because we're asking a lot of them.
You are, and common sense isn't so common as we've said before. And one person's common sense can be very different to another one. So when teams are analysing the upcoming game, Jackie, part of the conversation is the referee they have. And if you're in that Division 2 final, I'm sure Kieran McGeaney, Jim McGuinness would have been saying to the lads, look, lads, we know with Paul Falloon, he's going to let it flow. So you play right to the edge then, and you're allowed to play to the edge, and a certain type of game can develop when that's the situation. Other referees then are fussier, or they might have particular things that they're focusing on. Definitely a pattern over the weekend, which I thought was a positive, was that referees were pulling the four steps and overcarrying in all four games. It was something, so it's like something they've discussed, because, you know, to promote contact and tackling in contests, that needs to be policed, because if you're able to take seven or eight steps every time you have the ball, it's very hard for the team without the ball to get a hand on, or to get, you know, to try and tackle you legitimately. It's very hard for backs to defend in one-on-one situations. So that definitely looked to be something that all four referees pulled at different stages over the weekend. So it's possibly something they discussed in their own meetings. But it is one of the things that the referees can referee it different ways. And I suppose the more that they're kind of similar, are as close as possible, the better it is for everyone, for players and supporters and everyone else.
Mm. This is not a new phenomenon, Ryan. I understand that, even in bringing it up. But the one thing that I was encouraged by was trying to see them being helped, even in a small bit, by linesmen or umpires. You just love to see them get a little bit more support, because I think it is hard. And I think Eamon is right, in a situation where Conor Lane is looking at on the weekend, where if that spills over and he doesn't get helped, then suddenly you're having even more red cards than what we saw. So it is a challenging position. I understand that. But I just, you'd love that there'd be a bit more of an understanding across the board that this is the way we're going to referee it, and it shouldn't matter about the personnel either.
And I think, Jackie, at the start of the year, I think it looked like, you know, what came out from HQ was they were going to stamp down on players talking back. And I know the first number of weeks, anyone who seemed to have any conversation with referees, you know, they received whatever, a black card, or, you know, they certainly got booked. So it seems like they're being asked to do too much, and it changes like the wind. You know, God knows what the incentive is going to be now for the championship as well. But they should be utilising. You know, we have so many officials now, you know, surrounding the referee as well, and surrounding the pitch, that they should be given more of a voice as well, or we bring on VAR and we just follow other codes in other sports and look at maybe going a bit more, you could say tactical in the refereeing side of things as well. But you know it was something I didn't pick up on even at the weekend in terms of they seem to be pulling steps quite a bit. And that is the modern game. You know, it's something, and I know you're always coaching, you know, to take as many steps as you can, maybe feel out the referee and see what he's going to call, maybe, you know, in terms of, is he going to try and pull you? But when you have 15 players maybe doing it on both sides, you know, it's very hard to keep blowing the whistle, you know, if it's the same kind of foul, you could say, or same play that keeps happening. So we do ask a lot from them as well. And it's probably... Yeah, it's unfair to criticise them whenever there are so many rules in the book as well. So, and it could change come the championship as well. But we have to give them credit as well. You know, I couldn't be a referee. I don't know.
Me neither.
I don't know how you did. To be a referee. So there you go.
I was the worst referee of all time when I used to be refereeing the Kerry training sessions. Ryan, the lads, used to hate to see me coming. There wasn't too many frees. I'll put it to you that way.
Funny, I'm doing it myself actually down in Cardiff, and then I've just left it now. Pat McEnany's on the scene, so I just tell Bandy, get him. He knows what he's doing.
I think there's a career for this guy. all right, let's go on to Saturday's games then, because definitely one of the stories of the weekend, Ryan, I think, is look what Westmeath have managed to do over the last couple of years. I think Desi Dolan, in fairness, in his second year in charge, what he has managed to get out of this team has been really inspirational. He seems to be the kind of guy that they all adore him, the way that they talk about him. I mean, he is obviously one of Westmeath's most famous sons, but there's no doubt about it, they are playing for him as well, and they got their just rewards at the weekend.
Yeah, and listen, when you actually look at their team and their squad, they have an abundance of talent. You know, they have a lot of really good attacking, quick forward and thinking players as well. When you look at the likes of Donlan O'Toole, to name a couple, Luke Loughlin, Kinnellan, sorry, not Donlan. They've a lot of talent on that pitch, and I suppose I could say it was fortunate or unfortunate to come up against them a number of times and play against some of those lads when they were coming on the scene as well, playing for Fermanagh. And you know, Desi has really brought them on the last number of years, and they seem to come alive in Croke Park. You know, whether it's the big spaces or just they have maybe been more used to other sides, playing in Leinster, playing on the ground as well, but they just seem to love playing there. And listen, at the weekend, they fully deserved, you know, and you have to give them credit. They fully deserved the result at the weekend, and it is a credit to Desi. I know he's given off about the amount of games they've had over the last number of weeks, but for them to bounce back after, I suppose, narrowly getting to the league final as well and getting promotion, you know, he would have loved that. And to see that response as well, that definitely has buoyed them now, you know, leading into, I think they've Wicklow now as well next weekend. So, mm-hmm. You know, they'll be looking forward to that. And again, some will probably say that they're probably the second best team probably in Leinster. Well, for me at the moment, they're up there. And they are on the, I think, the better side of the draw as well. Possibly, maybe I'm wrong on that one, but you know, they'll be looking forward to that Wicklow game now, especially after that response. And Desi's getting a tune out of them certainly at the moment, and long may continue in Leinster as well.
I think they will feel like they're the second best team in Leinster, Eamon, and I think they'll feel they can make a Leinster final now as well, given their side of the draw, the way that they're going, the way that they're winning. And I think Desi is definitely getting a tune out of them, but it's for the right reasons, because there's a pathway there that he can see where this team is going.
Yeah, that's it, Jackie. They're on a path, and you know, they won the Tailteann Cup. I was disappointed with them in the league last year that they didn't follow on and get promotion from that, because they're too good for Division 3, really, you know, for all the reasons that Ryan mentioned there in terms of the squad and the calibre of players they have. But then they showed come the summer, when they were competing with the big boys in the All-Ireland series, they showed again what they were all about, and they were seriously unlucky in a couple of the games that they didn't win those games. So they've progressed further this year. That game next weekend is a tricky game for them, that Wicklow game. You know, Wicklow didn't have the best of leagues or whatever, but this kind of a situation where you're coming off a big win like that and coming down to try and play a Leinster Championship game the following weekend is a bit tricky. But, you know, if they get through that, I think they're playing Kildare the following weekend. And that's obviously a hugely significant game then, because that's basically competing for the All-Ireland series. Because if Kildare were to turn over Westmeath in that semi-final, if it plays out that way, well, then Kildare will take their spot. Although I think Louth might be still Louth. At that. They're still another game. So Louth will be in that mix as well. So you'd have Louth, Kildare, and possibly Westmeath. And if Westmeath lose any of those games, their spot will be taken then. Like, so, you know, it's tricky, and it'll be that thing of playing the 5 weeks in a row is going to come into it. But they have a squad. They were missing players the last day, and they still managed to get the win. And, you know, they've innovated a bit again this year. Sam McCartan was obviously man of the match the last night. Yeah. He's comfortable playing wing forward. You know, he would have played a lot of football wing forward, but he's playing wing back as this kind of, similar to the way Jarley Oge Burns plays, that he's coming on to the play and he's a threat. And he showed that the last night with the scores he kicked himself and setting up the goal for Jonathan Lynham as well. So they're innovating as well. They're improving. Next weekend is tricky against Wicklow, but if they get over that battle with Kildare will be a hugely significant game then.
Yeah, because that's do or die for both of them, really, Ryan. You know, that's Kildare to save their season. So that's not an easy run either. And I think when Desi is talking about 5-6 games on the bounce and everything, trying to do it week on week with a team, yes, there's a lot of talented players, but they certainly don't have the depths of some of the teams that we've been talking about earlier either. This is not an easy run either to the Leinster final.
No, but it's kind of new to sides as well. You know, at obviously inter-county level, where you are playing week on week, and you might be used to that. You know, and from a club perspective, but if you do get on that kind of winning momentum and you get on those train tracks, you know, it can be hard to stop as well. And you know, I suppose it's do or die for Glenn Ryan probably as well. You know, so yeah. People that encounter, that's, listen, albeit if they get over the Wicklow game as well, he'd be looking at that as a massive encounter as well, and that could be his, you know, defining moments as well. So we have to look at that and say, you know, there are a couple of massive games, yes, in Leinster as well, where, you know, there could be a lot at stake when it comes to certainly that Sam Maguire, getting into the Sam, Maguire itself. So, and I think, listen, you know, Eamon had said it as well about, you know, last year they will be disappointed. I think it was ourselves actually who pipped them in one of the league games to get ahead of them as well and get that promotion. So I know Desi has been building. I think that was Netterney actually as well. I was at that game. It was a really, really tight encounter. So they have been building and you know, the likes of Lynham and Carton, who I didn't mention earlier on, you know, he has added that depth to the squad as well, and they'll be looking to get into the Sam Maguire certainly for the forthcoming season.
What about Division 4 then? Because to me, Eamon, this was the most disappointing game of the weekend. I think maybe even last week we were chatting on here and we were saying, oh, Leitrim, you know, they've gone well, they've beaten them in the last couple of years. I don't even know if Andy Moran saw a beating like that coming at the weekend. It's so deflating after everything they'd put into the year that this game wasn't closer.
Yeah, it was. Look, I think with Leitrim, there was a lot of involved in the game, Jackie, around the emotional side of it for the whole county. Because,
well, everyone I know from Leitrim was at the game.
Yeah, there was some crowd of them there, and they were so excited before the game. And that thing that emerged last week, which is, that's a podcast for another day, that it was only their sixth time ever playing in Croke Park. I mean, good God, come on. We have to do better than that to make sure that teams get a chance to play.
There's a job for your football review committee now.
We've enough of jobs now, Jackie, without taking on extra ones. But you could see that it was hugely important to the people of Leitrim and to the players. And obviously Andy Moran himself had mentioned it last week, that all of that, and sometimes that emotional side of a fixture can take your eye off the actual nitty gritty of having to go and win the game. And in fairness to Leash were hugely impressive in every aspect of the game. Again, similar to Derry at the other end of the scale, in that they have a kicking game, they have presence inside, They can mix it up. They're well able to get bodies back. They're athletic. You know, they have the long kick-out option. They can go short and build it up the pitch. They have a lot of the things that you'd be looking for in a kind of a modern Gaelic football team. They have the goal threat. They had a spread of scorers. So you'd have to give massive credit to Laois. Obviously, a disappointing day out for Leitrim. But they learn from it, and I think that was kind of Andy Moran's attitude afterwards. They will learn from it, and if they manage to get back there again, it'll be less about being in Croke Park and it'll be more about trying to win the game and making sure they win the game. But there was great excitement and there was a huge Leitrim crowd there, and it was great to see. Obviously, they would have been disappointed with the result, but they're still promoted. They're still going to compete hard in the Connacht Championship. I'd be more so than being disappointed with Leitrim. I give Laois a lot of credit. I was very impressed with them.
Mm. Yeah, you weren't the only one. I think a lot of people, in fairness, saw all those things that you talk about, a good running game, good kicking game. And I think, Ryan, you know, they're deserved winners. They're deservedly promoted. And I think Laois will feel that they're better than a Division 4 team as well. I think they want to be climbing the ranks. They probably shouldn't have put themselves in that position in the first place, only for having a dire couple of years there. I think they'll feel that maybe they're back in the place that they believe that they should be, and looking upwards rather than the other way.
Yeah, and Eamon, you've never been down in Division 4 or 3, and let me tell you, they are not nice places to get out of as well. They are very, very tough, you know, divisions. And Laois, yeah, have you know, struggled over the last number of years and deserve to be down there, in my opinion, as well. We have to give them credit. I think they were hammered, was it, in last year's divisional final by Down by maybe 6-7 goals, you know, and it was a real write-off for them that day. So for them to bounce back and to win that final was certainly something that will give them that little boost leading into the championship as well. I think it's against Offaly they play first as well. And for Leitrim, you know, I'm not sure even the last time when they were promoted from 4-3. So who's to say what way the players were, you know, after last weekend. It was massive to get out of that division. And, you know, fair play if they had a few days celebrating or a day celebrating. It was something they thoroughly deserved, and you're right, we talked about it. I had noted that it was six outings they haven't won in Croke Park, so something needs to be done to give them more chances in Croke Park as well. But I know, listen, they'll be really, really happy with getting out of Division 4, and they were well in the game, probably up to about that, I think it was around 44 maybe minutes, whenever you know Laois got that goal to put them 5 ahead. So, you know, Andy Moran will probably not be, you know, too annoyed at that. Yes, I know the outcome then, and when they were beaten by, I think it was about 20 points in the end up, you know, and the game really got away from them after that period. But for me, listen, he seemed buoyant and happy after the game, and you know, for him personally as well, I think it was massive for his managerial kind of perspectives as well, that he could get out of Division 4 and do something with this squad as well. And I've seen some of the teams, club teams in Leitrim, you know, there is talent there as well. You know, I think I put down that Ryan O'Rourke kicked 5-20 as well in Division, throughout Division 4 as well. So that's big scoring. And I think his brother plays as well, and he had played well at the weekend. So, you know, there is talent down there as well. Some good club sides. And listen, you know, they'll get up to Division 3 and they'll love that as well. They'll love bringing sides to Cork and Shannon, which is a tough place to go as well. And listen, you know, that'll be important for them. But they're going to look forward to the championship as well over the next number of weeks. And listen, although it was a bit of a dead rubber the last 15-20 minutes, it certainly, again, listen, give both sides a chance to get into Croke Park and showcase their talent.
Yeah. Well, getting into Croke Park is a rare and special day for Leitrim fans. So hopefully they enjoyed the day out and they'll look forward to another one if they can continue on the trajectory that they're going. Promotion, certainly nothing to be sniffed at. And I think a good league overall. You know, when you look back on it, Eamon, we had one absolutely cracking final on Sunday. But I think the league finals, you know, I heard Mickey Hart even saying it afterwards, how could you want to miss out on these days? You know, and I think even for Leitrim fans losing like that, if you didn't have a league final, they wouldn't have got to experience a Croke Park either. So it is the chicken and the egg scenario. Which one do you want to take away? And I still believe in the league finals. I still think that they are worthy. And I think this weekend has proved that to us.
Oh, yeah. Look, I would always have been a fan of them, Jackie. I was lucky enough to play in a few of them. I was manager in a few of them. And I think they're it's a great weekend. They're great days. To me, there's other areas that we can tighten up before I go looking at taking the league finals. And I know there is an argument as well about, you know, a league should it just finish with the team that finishes top. But for me, if that's the situation, do you need to have a home and away fixture with every team? Yeah. Do you need to have an equal amount of home and away? Because at the moment you can have four home, three away, or vice versa. So there's a lot of things you'd have to look at if you were going down that route. But no, I'd always have been a fan of the league finals. I think it's a great, they're great days out and great to get to play in Croke Park. And, you know, that there is that whole element of a final about it makes it just that bit special. And even the way Jarlett Byrne spoke after all four finals, I know there's been a good bit of chat about the way he spoke after the Division One final, but he was equally passionate and appropriate after every one of the games. He was excellent. He was really good. So it kind of it gave it a bit of a buzz as well. So yeah, I'd be for holding the league finals. I think there's other places we could gain a couple of weekends that if we need it, which we do really, because the whole thing is too condensed. But I'd leave the league finals for me personally.
Yeah, I thought Jarlett did particularly well on the Division Two final, Ryan, in fairness, when must have found it hard to bite his tongue there a little bit too. But great weekend for him, and lovely to have him celebrating it. Yeah.
Yeah, Jim has that noted down. Sorry, Jackie. Jim has that noted down as well, probably, you know, leading into the championship. But
I think you have access to Jim's notebook, all the notes that you're talking about, right?
No. Listen, it's and Eamon's right. You know, definitely for the likes of ourselves and Leitrim's, we had a lot of opportunities to play in Croke Park through the league finals, fours and threes, and not fortunate enough to go from 2-1, unfortunately. But, it was brilliant for us to get a chance to play on those days. And Eamon is right. I do believe there's more, there should be more opportunities to play more games at inter-county level, because listen, that's our showpiece as well. Whenever we're trying to promote our games abroad as well, our elite players are playing at fantastic arenas now that are constantly building and developing. For me, probably the main issue at the minute is it is far too condensed, and Desi is right, that they have to play their fifth, sixth game now that will feel like a championship game, so bodies will be broken, and we don't ask that of top professional teams at times, so why should we ask it of ourselves as well, so it's something that has to be probably looked into. But it's the games we even though we may have criticised some of them, we just watch them all weekend anyway, and we always turn our eyes to the league finals. We always have a look out, because it does, listen, you get it to look at sides and think, oh, I wonder what they're going to do in the championship as well. So it's a brilliant, four brilliant occasions to get watching sides. And yeah, let's change the calendar more than anything else.
Here. There's one we'll come back to another day. We're going to have to leave it there though. Ryan, Eamon, thanks so much for being with us. And to everybody else, enjoy your week. And we'll be back on Thursday to look ahead to the Football Championship, which gets underway next weekend. And we are looking forward to it. We'll talk to you then.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a goal. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. It's over the bar.